This week, it's Bandits at 3 o'clock as we take to the skies on a truly balmy bombing mission. Okay, chaps, chocks away! Welcome to Scrap Heap Challenge, the show where two unsuspecting teams of scrap-happy grease monkeys have to build monster machines out of all this discarded junk. And this week, we're dropping a bit of a bombshell.
The challenge is to build an aircraft capable of dropping a paint bomb over a target. Now, the good news is they don't have to risk life and limb in the cockpit of their low-rent Lancasters. The bad news is they do have to position their machines over the target and open their bomb doors, all by remote control. Nearest to the bullseye wins.
In the pink corner, in a shock transfer from the Church of England, are three trainee vicars. They're called, wait for it, Three Revs a Minute.
I'm Chris. I'm the nominal team captain, but we believe in a kind of shared ministry. I used to work at Vickers Shipbuilding in Barrow-in-Furness. I met the other members of the team when we all started here at college. We all left our different jobs in the secular world before coming into the Anglican ministry.
My name's Jeremy. I see myself as a practical person. I was an aircraft woodworker. I worked for British Aerospace. We used to make models and mock-ups of aircraft parts.
I'm Steve. I was a control and instrument engineer originally, but hoping to use what physical skills we had before and just show people that Vickers are normal people too.
The Revs are joined by Howard Foore, who's a high flyer in the wacky world of model aeroplanes, so he's got plenty of experience of sky pilots.
Taking on the men of God are a bunch of balmy bodgers from deepest Wiltshire. They're the mothers of invention.
My name is Will, I'm a graphic designer. I just love mechanical things. I want to know how everything works. Diana is my mum. She can turn around to anything. Pretty good for a 72-year-old.
I'm Diana Hamlin. I've always been interested in mechanical things. My father died when I was 13, so I became the owner of his workshop. So many people, when they get older, they feel they have to stop. But I don't. Matt is an exceedingly nice young man. He's really a friend of William's.
My name's Matt Curtis. I'm an actor. We all have our own individual talents. I will be strategist. Will is involved in all the mechanical side of things. And Diana will tell us what to do. It's a family affair.
Holding the mother's hand is William Ives. His proper job is building remote-controlled flying machines for exhibitions.
Mothers of invention, Three Revs a Minute, you have been chosen for a fiendishly difficult mission. The target has been set. You fly at dawn. But first, you must build yourselves a bomber capable of delivering its lethal payload directly on target. From the moment that the ball drops into the cup. Here it goes. Wait for it. Ready, steady, go! What do you think?
I think they're on a wing and a prayer, mate.
A bomber, excellent.
Bomber.
This is going to be a radio-controlled bomber.
Right.
We have a wing with a what we call polyhedral, and then the fuselage would be hung underneath, and then you have your tailplane, obviously, at the back, and an engine on the front, the propeller.
The mothers of invention have rejected the idea of an aeroplane. They're going to build a remote-controlled airship filled with helium. Bizarre, but entirely within the rules.
The airship itself will be what's called a blimp, so it'll be non-rigid. There'll be no framework inside it. Right. It'll just be held up by its own pressure. I reckon it's going to be something between 5 and 10 metres long.
Lighter than air gas is in short supply on scrap heaps, so we'll be giving them the helium.
So key components then, the wings
going to be quite important, aren't they? Sort of big and light.
Right. We want to find the engine first, so we can then strip it down and get it as light as we possibly can.
So what's the priority of things we need to scavenge?
If we find some plastic materials, they're not quite as tough as a fabric, but it'd probably be tough enough.
Right, let's do it.
Okay, yeah, guys, if you two want to fire off, get into that stuff.
Okay. Go for it.
Okay, thanks very much.
And they're off. The Vickers are vandalising their work area. So the mothers are the first into the scrap heap to scavenge the junk they need to build their bomber. The Mothers of Invention's top priority is masses of super lightweight material for their dotty airship plan. Matt's a struggling actor, so he's totally across the tech spec for a homemade Hindenburg.
Well, if we had a beach ball, we could adapt the nose.
Don't give up the day job, Matt.
Matt!
Luckily, the mothers also have Diana. While other 72-year-old ladies make jam and tend dahlias, Diana welds cars, makes her own furniture, and does a spot of light bricklaying. She's also a ruthless scrap heap scavenger, well used to hunting down parts for her 1965 Triumph Herald.
I think I've got that remote control we need, Matt.
She even built son Will his first go-kart. Now that's what I call a mother.
What's that for?
Steve and Jeremy are ex-engineers training to be vickers. They've swapped their cassocks for boiler suits and are ready for anything.
Back.
What the three revs need to get their powered glider airborne is a really light engine.
Right.
I think Steve and Jeremy's grasp of engineering might be a bit rusty.
The mothers have scavenged up some clear plastic for their airship, but they need to get it past their expert, William.
I mean, it's just a sort of fairly normal polythene.
Yeah.
It's not necessarily going
to
be that good.
Easy to make
what
a hole
need
in,
is, we need a really sort of quite a high-grade material that's quite, quite dense.
William's used to working with rather more sophisticated material.
22-year-old airship wunderkind William made the remote-controlled acrobatic airships flying round inside the Millennium Dome. So he's used to big budgets, state-of-the-art materials, and a highly trained team of technicians. Back in the real world, William's having to build an airship out of scrap polythene with a bizarre bunch of metal bashers.
Hey!
Hooray, hooray, hooray! Nothing in here, but...
But William's right to put their airship envelope top of the shopping list. 1 cubic metre of helium, which is 7 times lighter than air, will lift around 1 kilo. The mothers reckon their airship envelope, the sausage-shaped bit that holds the helium, plus an engine and propeller will weigh around 20 kilos. To get off the ground, they'll need an envelope about 8 metres long, filled with 20 cubic metres plus of helium. To make the envelope, they need a material which is light but not flimsy and easy to damage. Their zany Zeppelin will be operated by remote control from the ground.
Having tamed their quad bike, the trainee vickers are scavenging up a storm, and Jeremy's getting in touch with his non-spiritual side. I hope the bishop's not watching.
Ah, that looks better.
All that priestly perspiration finally pays off.
Now that looks like something.
That's a petrol tank, isn't it?
Yes.
It's all there, isn't it?
That thing's a leaf blower, and its dinky, lightweight engine should be just what the revs need to drive the propeller on their mini Lancaster.
It might be in business.
Yes.
Well done, Jeremy.
That's good. On.
All right,
good
that's
luck.
It.
Well done. Keep up the good work, Jeremy. This is a nice little thing we found.
Oh, look at that.
Wow. Yeah? It's a little bit better than that one we found earlier.
Could be a little heavier. I think you're looking at an 80-foot wingspan to get that off the ground. Has it actually worked yet? Have you started it up?
No, we haven't actually.
I mean, I'm only saying that.
It's not a bad idea, actually.
With a great deal of support and love, just because I've known that these amazing machines have been built and then it's...
Engine permitting, the Rebs bomber blueprint is comfortingly traditional. Their aeroplane will have an 8-foot wingspan, but will be made out of very light materials, so that a small engine attached to a propeller is able to power it along. Like the mothers, they'll stay safely earthbound and fly the thing by remote control.
You're a bit of a vicar on the side, are you?
Well, all three...
No, I don't mean it like that. No,
all
I mean,
three of us in training for ministry, we all used to work in engineering.
Right.
And we kind of missed the cut and thrust of life on the factory floor.
Yeah. You're not concerned of the slightly sort of warlike aspects of this challenge?
Well, as long as there's nobody underneath.
There's nobody underneath.
It's
not a dangerous bomb.
After a full hour of hard physical labour, the vicars decide it's time for tea.
Good job you're the captain.
Why?
You're a fabulous captain. He's giving us a tea break. We've only been going an hour.
The mothers of invention are still on the hunt for top quality airship material.
But be quite careful so it doesn't rip or anything.
Yeah, let's take it back.
Diana, the demon scavenger, is cooking with gas.
I have to say that Mother Diana is an absolute top scavenger.
She does look. She has
scavenger.
The look of a good scavenger.
She does. Yeah. You can sort of picture... Well, no, it's probably very unfair cliche to imagine rummaging through the bargain basement things.
I've been elbowed out of the way in various jumble sales by women very like
that. Absolutely. Or maybe the vicars could arrange a bring and buy sale.
Bring a buy up. Well, she'd get in there straight away.
Of course she would. She'd have it.
All that scavenging has turned up loads of potential airship material.
This is really heavy.
But William's a hard man to please. Yeah. He wants plastic that's strong, but not too heavy.
You can't find anything sort of anything lighter. I think we're really going to be a bit heavy.
But he also wants something that can be heat welded with an iron to give a good strong seal.
That's too thin, mate.
You don't want that plastic?
No, it's no good.
Will rejects his mum's offering.
It's just difficult to join.
It's looking grim. Without material for their airship, the metal bashers are firmly grounded.
We might end up having a knit one this afternoon.
Oh, you could knit one?
So really, then, that is our engine?
That is the engine, stripped down to its bare necessities.
Meanwhile, the Bible bashers are storming ahead.
Now, in actual fact, if we take that off...
They're stripping their leaf blower engine down to basics to keep their aeroplane as light as possible.
Actually, that looks the business, doesn't it?
It does, yes. Looks nice, that.
Jeremy's digging around in skips. But it's been a few years since Chris was on the factory floor.
OK.
There it goes.
It's tougher than you think, this aluminium.
Oh, yes, yes.
Howard takes over, while Chris gets urgent medical attention for a nasty graze to the finger.
Oh, that's good. Marvellous.
Believe it or not, that's what the Revs are going to make their wings out of. But getting airborne is just the start of their problems. When they launch their bombing run, it won't be a simple matter of getting their plane over the target and dropping the bomb. When first released, their bomb will still be travelling forwards and will trace a trajectory determined by its weight and the speed of the plane. The faster the Rev's plane is travelling, the earlier they must release their bomb for it to land smack on target. The mother's airship will travel much more slowly than the Rev's plane. That means their bomb will fall practically straight down, making the timing of their drop a lot less critical.
In the last 50 years, technology has hugely enhanced bombing accuracy, but pinpoint bombing is not a modern innovation. In World War II, long before the advent of laser-guided bombs, swift and versatile Mosquitoes flew hundreds of skillful precision bombing missions. Perhaps their most impressive feat of accuracy was a daring raid on Amiens jail in occupied France.
One wave would fly down the Amiens Albert Road towards the jail at about 10 feet or so. They all went in very low. One wave went in, first off, to punch holes in the wall. Now, the other wave was coming in at right angles to attack the guards' quarters. A third wave went in to put percussion bombs into the prison building itself, not to destroy the prison, but to shake it so much that the cell doors would be popped.
It was a great success. Many resistance prisoners were freed in time for D-Day, and out of 19 Mosquitoes, only three flying crew were lost.
At the scrap heap, hours of searching by the mothers have turned up some white plastic, which might just do for their bonkers Hindenburg plan.
Yeah, that's really good.
It'll be all right, won't it?
Let it melt.
It heat seals well, so they make a mini balloon. Now the acid test. Will it hold helium?
gentleman, if you've got it.
It's leaking. I mean, it is going down.
Yeah.
Okay, well, it is going down.
It's not the seams that are leaking, it's the plastic itself. The plastics the mothers have tried all look solid, but under a microscope they'd resemble a fishing net. All plastics will hold air because it's made up of big oxygen and nitrogen molecules which can't find a way through the holes in the net. Most plastics won't hold in helium, which has tiny molecules that can find their way through the mesh. The mothers need a less porous material with a finer mesh, which will keep those pesky helium molecules where they want them. Poor old Matt. Only recently he was on set filming the new Bridget Jones movie. Now he's on a scrap heap puzzling over molecular chemistry. Carrier bag polythene won't do. He needs something like crisp packet material, which needs to be highly non-porous to stop your crisps going stale.
The Rebs are really flying. They've got an engine for their baby bomber.
Chris, come in. It's Steve. If you can hear me, I've got a radio controller here.
And they've got stacks of remote control toys full of the gizmos they need to operate it.
Yes, that's brilliant. OK.
Well done, Jeremy.
Well done.
Look at that.
Yep.
Steve is on his way back to 3 Revs HQ with tidings of great joy.
On the outside, yes. Yes.
Hey!
Brilliant, brilliant. Yeah.
Steve, we love you.
That's sort of like a propeller, isn't it?
Yeah, that's more like it, yeah. That's baby. That's the best bit of work you've done today.
Celebrate. Right, okay.
The Vickers have a wild party. Putting away 14 pints of Earl Grey each.
I hear we have propeller joy. Let's have a look at it then. Where is it?
Right there.
There it is, look.
Oh, it's a modest thing.
It's a beautiful little propeller.
We don't like to boast.
Yeah, and it just fits nicely. Here's the little engine.
Oh, it's almost made to measure,
and
isn't it?
That just fits nicely on the shaft there.
What makes that a good propeller?
It's the correct size for that type of engine. If you had too big a propeller, then the engine won't turn over fast enough.
Right.
And if you had too small a propeller, then it won't give you enough thrust.
It's to enable you to get in the air
stay
there.
Right, that's right.
Right.
That's not bad, really, is it?
Pretty handy little thing.
Having scoured the scrap heap in vain for airship material, Thespian Matt has stumbled across a locked car boot. Now he just has to work out how to open it. They don't teach you breaking and entering at RADA. He's cracked it.
Oh.
Matt opens the boot take two.
Fantastic.
It might look like tinfoil, but it's actually mylar, the stuff they wrap exhausted marathon runners in.
Matthew, I'm coming straight back to base.
It's very dense and very light. It could be just the thing.
Oh. Ta-da!
Hooray!
Mylar's an aluminium-coated plastic.
That looks good.
And William knows it'll hold helium. It's a monster breakthrough for the mothers.
Teams, you have 5 hours remaining. Teams, 5 hours remaining.
But they've got an awful lot of catching up to do. Big Will's got a couple of car fans off a Ford Fiesta. The crazed idea is that linked up to a couple of electric motors, they all propel their 8-metre Hindenburg along. I think I'd better investigate.
How fast do they spin?
5,000 RPM, something like that. Right. I guess. Pretty fast.
So what do you reckon will actually travel at? If there was no wind or
5-10 mile an hour.
Oh, would it? All right. Like so it's possible, if you've got a 2 or 3 mile an hour wind, you could probably cope with that.
Yeah.
It's a doddle, isn't it? It's a walkover.
Yeah, absolutely.
Don Cameron runs the world's biggest balloon and airship company. He was originally an aircraft engineer, so he's well qualified to assess both teams' efforts.
Now, the 3 revs a minute team, they've got bits that I recognise as being aeroplane-shaped.
It certainly is starting to come together. They've got wing aerofoils, which are looking very professional.
So the shape of the wing looks right?
Oh, it does. The aerofoil is very good indeed.
Right.
If they just made something like a barn door, it would still have flown.
Right.
But you get much more efficient lift if you make an aerofoil shape.
Right.
And they've done a really beautiful one.
So, Don, the mothers of invention. Well, those fans they've got on the little electric motors, will they'll be sufficient to give a bit of thrust, will they?
They'll give it some speed. It's difficult to predict how much.
Yeah.
I would think probably about 5 miles an hour.
Right.
So if the wind's blowing at 6 miles an hour, we have a problem.
Yes.
Wind is their enemy, yes.
Yeah.
the mothers are way behind. They've got 4 hours to turn a roll of foily stuff into an airship.
So what do you reckon then?
The three Rebs are having a bit of a sit-down to decide serious theological issues, like what to call their bomber.
Mark?
Ascension?
Lazarus.
Lazarus.
Lazarus, it rolls from the dead. Okay, Lazarus it is then.
After hours of searching, the mothers of invention have found some mylar to make their airship envelope. William's checking whether it can be heat-sealed with an iron. After all that scavenging, Diana's having a well-earned cuppa.
This is my recovery position.
That's easy, as hot as the iron goes.
The mylar heat seals well.
Okay, just got to do like 200 feet of that and we're there.
Well, let's begin.
So if I don't get up soon, they'll drop me from the payroll.
There'll be no more rest for the mothers. Their roll of mylar is only a metre wide. They need to cut 8 panels for the body and a further 16 curved panels for the nose and tail. That's 70 metres of mylar to be cut and heat-sealed together.
The trainee vicars are storming ahead with Lazarus, their fixed-wing bomber. Those clever clerics have knocked up a homemade hot wire to cut the wing sections into a beautifully curved aerofoil shape.
As all scrap heap diehards know, a curved wing profile will give more lift than a flat slab. That's because air passes faster over the curved side of the wing than the flat underside. This creates low pressure on the wing's upper surface, which helps get the aircraft off the ground and keep it there.
That's better.
The three Rebs have also engineered that magnificent propeller onto their stripped-down engine.
See what
okay.
we can do there.
Electric's on.
Yeah, apparently it is, yeah.
Now for the big moment. Will it go?
Do you need any choke? Any throttle?
Well, without spark, you're not going to get any.
Oh, dear, Vicar. I'd like to offer tea and sympathy, but the cruel truth is they found that engine 7 hours ago and they've only just got around to checking it. Without an engine, their beautiful propeller isn't much use.
The mothers have got a couple of old car fans bodged onto 2 scrap motors. Elegant they are not.
Just seeing whether I can make the fans move for the controls now.
But at least they work.
We have 2 fans now, going the same way.
Fantastic. Beauty.
It's about time the mothers had a bit of good news.
We've got fuel, we've got compression.
No spark.
Turns, but no spark.
The 3 Rev's leaf blower engine is still as dead as a doornail. Poor old Lazarus really does need a miracle.
Time to double-check the mothers' engine plans.
And have we tested out your engines? We're always very keen for people.
Yeah.
Have we? Oh,
yeah,
good.
They work. I can show you one if you like.
Yeah, go on. That would make me feel deeply reassured. Oh, lovely. So you can't control the speed of that? They just rotate at a fixed speed?
Basically on and off, yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So we'll get left and right control from those.
Right.
And
when you say you get left and right control, you mean just by
steering,
or off?
Yeah, they'll be controlled on or off. And also up and down by basically tilting.
The mother's steering plan is as balmy as the rest of it. Their radio control transmitters allow them to operate their airship via 4 so-called carrier waves. 2 carrier waves will turn each of their motors and fans on and off to steer their airship left or right. Another will allow them to tilt their whole motor assembly up or down to rise or descend. And the fourth will pull a simple pin to drop their bomb.
So this is the hidden hangar of airlift command operations, is it?
Yes.
So how far off finishing this bit of the job are we?
Probably about another hour.
Very sceptical looks from Matt over there.
No idea! You're into the world of zone.
Airships never really caught on, did they?
There's a very good reason why. The Hindenburg's disastrous demise was down to its use of hydrogen, which is cheap and easy to manufacture, but also highly flammable. The catastrophe spelled the end of the road for airships as commercial transport, and hydrogen is now banned from use in airships and balloons.
The vicar's chances don't look much rosier, but they've just had a bit of divine inspiration.
Try turning a bit faster.
Yeah, see what we can.
Maybe their dead engine needs more than 3 revs a minute to get it started. A jump start with a hand drill could give Lazarus a new lease of life. Lazarus springs into life and the 3 revs are back in business.
Chocks away! They're cutting the grass next door.
Must be an enormous machine.
Teams, you have 2 hours remaining.
2 hours? 2 hours?
Come on.
2 hours, blimey. That is not very long.
Just gonna move on.
Over at the foil factory, the Mylar is causing the mothers a few problems.
We're getting grit underneath the seam that we're sealing. We're getting little holes like that.
William's patching the tiny holes with sticky tape, but will it still be helium-proof? Luckily, he has a plan to deal with small helium leaks. The idea is to put in more helium than they really need, making their Hindenburg super buoyant. But to stop them floating off into the stratosphere, they'll then need to weigh it down with heavy weights or ballast. That way, if some helium does escape, they don't have to keep pumping more of it in, they'll simply take off a bit of ballast.
Since their engine fiasco, the revs have been worked off their feet.
Guys, I've been trying to resist this all day. More tea, Vicar! This looks so wing-like. I'm really impressed with these. They're beautiful. I'll be very delicate with it.
That's one wing tip.
That's a wing tip.
Because you've got a dihedral on, cut on there.
Right.
All right. This is the centre section over here.
Oh, look at that!
And then there'll be one on the other
it's
end as
big,
well.
It's big, isn't it? It's going to be big.
Oh, yes.
I like big.
The Rev's plan actually simplifies the design of Lazarus. Proper grown-up aircraft have ailerons, flaps to you and me, on the wings, which when lifted allow the aeroplane to turn. The Rev's will use a rudder on a wire operated by remote control to turn the plane. But without ailerons, the plane could literally lose its grip on the air and slide while turning. Their solution is a polyhedral design with turned-up wingtips, which will give them better stability in the air.
Jeremy used to be in a rapid response team for plane crashes, but clearly mentioning it would be in very poor taste.
You've had a bit of experience of, well, not of, I don't know, of plane not plane crashes, but you've been on a team that deals with plane crashes, is that right?
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
Did you ever have to do it?
No.
All right.
I was a first aider.
All right.
Yeah.
So I'm glad you never had to do it. Well, so it might come in useful tomorrow.
Well, you never know.
Yeah. 3 revs a minute, I've got everything that they need, but it's not all joined together.
It's the undercarriage is a little bit flimsy.
The undercarriage is not oversized.
Depends very much on the size of the stones that they've got to land among. Yeah.
Well, they talked about landing tail first. Oh, is that quite hard to do?
It's, of course, much more distressing if you land on your nose, as sometimes happens.
Yes. So the mothers of invention have been inventing for a long time, but we have yet to see any.
They've been doing a lot of welding of this silver sheet together.
But it's actually blown. It's not going to be a round balloon then when it's blown up. It's a long.
No, it's going to be a long thin sausage with domed ends. We're hoping that it won't be a bent sausage, and otherwise that would probably make it fly a little bit like that.
That's assuming it ever gets off the ground.
We've just managed to.
Must manage to burn a big hole.
Burn a hole in the front of the airship. We've got to just do a little bit of a repair.
But we can rebuild. We do have the technology, don't we, Will?
We do.
That's not so much a hole as a chasm.
I think we're perhaps getting near the deadline, William.
Yeah, we are. We really need to finish this as quickly as we can.
Teams, you have 1 hour remaining. 1 hour. Thank you.
William's feeling the pressure. But at least Big Will has got their remote-controlled bomb release working, using a handy hammer as a stand-in.
Howard, the 3 Rebs flight engineer, has got their remote-control gizmos up and running. Those little arms are called servos, and they're the key to control of Lazarus. All of their bomber's moving parts will be operated from ground level by remote control. their radio transmitters can send 4 carrier waves to receivers in their plane. The receivers in turn operate servos on the plane, one to move the rudder, directing them left or right, and one to operate an elevator on their tailplane to take them up or down. Another will control the throttle to govern their speed, and the fourth servo will pull a simple pin to drop their bomb.
Time to deliver the ordnance charged with its deadly cargo of emulsion.
Careful, 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 they're loaded. Is it? Careful.
That's, they are armed.
Oh, yeah. Oh, hang on. No, that's not. That's okay.
Is that the right way?
Yeah, I think so. So we have a bomb.
We're on our last scene.
On your last scene?
The last scene.
Only we're having to do the final scene with duct tape because the iron packed up.
Are you kidding?
No.
Since their iron packed up, they've had to use another couple of bales of sticky tape to finish sealing their airship seams. However, the mystery of the broken iron is about to be cleared up.
Just discovered why the iron went off so prematurely.
And I always need to be scales.
It seems Big Will unplugged their iron to use the electronic scales.
Nice one, Will.
Oops.
Okay.
The Mothers of Invention's deductive skills aren't quite up to complex jobs like checking the plug.
The three revs still have an aeroplane kit rather than an actual aeroplane. Jeremy's set his heart on teddy bear wallpaper for the wings. Luckily, it'll also add strength.
Teams, you have 20 minutes remaining.
20 minutes remaining, team.
Time is running out.
Yes, that'll be fine. Yeah, that'll be fine.
The Mother's Silver Sausage cum Hindenburg is finished at last. They won't start the long job of filling it with helium tonight, so any leaks will come as a nice surprise tomorrow.
Gentlemen, you have 15 minutes remaining. Ladies and gentlemen, 15 minutes remaining. Thank you.
Dirty, horrible, messy job.
Jeremy's wishing he was back at the vicarage organising the summer fete.
So we've got to get the tail on first.
Diana's embarrassing son Will in front of his friends.
Go around the edges.
Mind your fingers.
Yes, mother.
Just rest it on top of that first.
The mother's motor and fan assembly will be attached to their airship in the morning.
Kilo under.
Boss on.
5 minutes. You have 5 minutes left. Huh? Five minutes, team.
Get straight on through, Steve, before I nip it up tight.
Got the Hindenburg's bomb release mechanism gets a final check.
That looks good.
Lazarus gets his wings stuck on with sticky
tape.
We've put the tail on that bit of wood down there. The kinder characters flip about.
Attention, teams, attention! Down your tools and wheel your bizarre bombers into their hangars. For tomorrow, we reach for the sky!
Yes.
Well done, Alan.
Oh, what a mum. What a great mother, eh?
Our budding bombers will fly their madcap machines over the quarry and attempt to drop their paint-charged warheads directly onto the target. They've only got 3 bombs and 3 flight attempts. Whichever team gets closest to the bullseye will be the winner. The Mothers of Invention had to miss the bacon and eggs and get up at 3 a.m. to start filling their mini Hindenburg with 20 cubic metres of helium. It's not the kind that gives you a hilarious Donald Duck voice. It's the pure industrial variety, which expels all oxygen from your lungs and suffocates you. It's the moment of truth. Will their airship hold in the helium that will take it skyward?
The 3 revs a minute are putting the polystyrene wings on their aeroplane, somewhat blasphemously dubbed Lazarus. Captain Chris is hoping a dirty great bolt will keep them there.
That's it, right, so we've got up, down, left, and right. That's it. Oh, yes. Yeah, we're getting proper movement now.
Lazarus has several moving parts and will be quite tricky to fly by remote control.
The Hindenburg is holding the helium and looking pretty buoyant, but for how long? Their silvery mylar material seems to have developed some holes in transit.
Somewhere.
That's the hole.
Oh. Jesus.
Well spotted, William.
Meanwhile, the engine trouble the trainee Vickers had on the build day has returned to haunt them.
More, but the point is, it's not reliable. It just stops. If we just, as we go over the edge, it stops, we've had it.
Howard has become the Three Rebs' prophet of doom.
The mother's airship is carrying a lot of excess baggage in the form of gaffer tape. So William decides to check the effect of all that extra weight on a helium-filled balloon. It flies like a brick.
There are strict safety laws governing remote control flying, and today's challenge has been vetted by the Civil Aviation Authority.
The mothers will be launching their Hindenburg from the north side of the quarry. They'd like to head straight for the target, but the wind will push them east. They must rely on their electric motor and car fan propulsion system to bring them round and into position over the target. The three Rebs are on the south side, and with their more powerful engine and propeller, they'll be taking off into the wind. Then they'll circle around and give themselves a nice long straight run up to the target.
The teams will take turns to fly so their radio signals don't interfere with their rivals' flight controls. First to reach for the sky will be the mothers of invention.
Okay, if you could lift it up.
They mount their terrifying warhead. There's no cluster bombing. It's strictly one bomb per run.
Which?
Yeah, that's it. I've got it.
Okay.
The airship's on a 400-metre safety line in case it goes walkabout.
Are we ready?
Let's go.
Engine started.
Bomber crews are ready! Mothers of invention, commence your bombing run!
3, 2, 1, go!
There she goes!
And the Hindenburg Mark II takes to the skies, but not for long.
Sort of going down.
The mothers have over-ballasted their blimp and it's heading straight for the quarry floor.
I think we're a bit heavy.
No, they dropped the bomb there. The bomb dropped and nothing happened. That is the most tragic sight I think I've ever seen. I'll tell you what it looks like. It looks like an undersea worm feeding off a bank of plankton.
Okay, should we recover this and have another go? Stop the engines.
Oops.
Okay, I think we dropped our bomb a little early.
Didn't go off.
Score on in! Well,
our caring Vickers give their rivals some pastoral support.
Since the Hindenburg Mark II only travelled a few metres from base, their first bomb drop was an unimpressive 200 metres off target.
Basically, it was a bit heavy.
Yeah, bit too much ballast.
Too much ballast.
Yeah, gusty wind.
And try and ballast it a bit lighter.
Yeah, give it another go.
While the mothers lick their wounds, the three Rebs have got their motor running. With their engine problems over for now, the men of God are ready to go to war. Lazarus is armed and dangerous.
Ready?
Okay. Bomber crew ready? 3 revs a minute! Commence your bombing run!
Okay, we are goal.
Please fly.
It's away.
It's up.
It's vanished over the edge.
Lazarus has gone down.
It's gone up!
It's going up! It's stalling a bit. It's going down again. Lazarus did momentarily raise from the scrap, but I think it has returned from whence it came.
Is it supposed to do that?
Yes. Well, no. Climbed up a bit, then got into a bit of a stall, and then came down, and it just wouldn't pull out.
After its somewhat girly launch, Howard needed to bring Lazarus's nose back up, but overdid it. At too sharp an upward angle, a plane will go into a so-called stall. Lacking the lift to keep it airborne, it will simply plummet to the ground.
Down but not out. The reverends have gone away for a little quiet prayer, I think. Lazarus might yet rise from the dead.
Just at the moment, Lazarus is looking distinctly poorly. He may need a bit of fine-tuning if he is ever to fly again. Still, at least his bomb went off.
The three revs run makes the mother's attempt look like a surgical strike. The airship bomb drop was a mere 200 metres off target, while the three revs touch down a short bus ride away.
Lazarus is retrieved by a team of crack paramedics and taken off to hospital.
Back at airship headquarters, they've topped up on helium, taken off some of the heavy ballast, and Big Will is checking out some damage sustained on their first outing.
Will?
What?
What have you done?
We broke a fan blade, we hit a rock. We had a crack in that blade and it's got caught.
It's
so
more than a crack now, isn't it?
Oh dear, I think it's going to shake itself to pieces.
That sounds pretty ugly now, doesn't it?
Yeah.
With a broken fan, the airship will have less power and control, and the mothers could be at the mercy of the wind.
A bit of a gust there.
Yeah, it is. We can
I reckon we're looking at 7 to 8 miles an hour now.
Exactly.
Oh, more.
Oh, yeah, it's getting up there. It's up to 10 miles an hour.
So it's going to be a very rapid run.
High winds or not, it's time for the mother's second bombing run.
I think we're good for liftoff.
Go.
All right.
Releasing. She's going down.
No.
It's a less than auspicious start.
And up.
Just your motor.
The mothers are relying on the left-hand damaged fan to steer them round to the right against the wind.
Keep your motor on. Keep it on. It will come
round. Have faith.
Oh, they've got to really try and work it round.
But they can't fight the wind and their blimp is vanishing over the horizon.
I think we should release our bomb.
There she goes.
It was in the quarry.
Yeah.
It was in the quarry.
Hello? Anyone?
Coming?
Oh, yeah, sorry.
Matt and Diana are left holding the Hindenburg.
The wind was blowing the airship straight on, and with a damaged fan, they just didn't have enough power to turn against the wind and get over the target. So they dropped their bomb before they were blown away, a good 100 metres off target.
The three revs have stuck on their spare propeller, gaffered up their damaged wings,
as strong as it ever was, I reckon,
and bodged on their broken tailplane. Lazarus is ready for a relaunch. Can he beat his previous personal best of 9 seconds?
Okay, come on, Lazarus, rise up.
Looks like a good launch.
Oh, much better at the beginning.
Well.
Oh, look at that.
Yes.
Yes.
Still in the air.
But they're losing control.
Stalling a bit. Oh, whoa. Turning again.
Release, release.
Oh. Oh, that was ugly.
What happened then, Howard?
Yeah, I didn't have enough left of the rudder.
Right.
So it's coming round all the time.
Right.
Just couldn't hold it to the left.
Amazingly, Lazarus has survived his second prang almost intact. He may yet fly again. And this time, they got their bomb within sight of the target.
You're right.
A bit nearer the target, but still quite a long way away.
Yeah.
Lazarus's second kamikaze bombing raid actually got their warhead closer to the target than the mother's second attempt. It all rests on each team's last flight.
William's testing the wind speed. He's hoping it's dropped so they have more control over their airship.
Will?
Yeah.
It's about 4 miles an hour.
It has dropped.
Go for it.
A bit.
Let's go for it.
Yeah.
Bomber crews ready! Mothers of invention, start your final bomb run now!
3, 2, 1, go!
Go.
With a push. With a push, please.
There, it's going up!
Oh,
yes!
This is very good.
Well, this is aviation.
This is pure aviation.
They're pretty close to the target, but unless they drop the bomb soon, the wind could still whisk them away.
You ready with that release?
Yeah.
Ready for the bomb?
Go!
Yay! There goes the bomb!
Look at that! Bang!
Oh, yes!
How about that?
It's the closest yet, just 40 metres from the target. Unless Lazarus can turn in a star bombing raid, the mothers will emerge superior.
Meanwhile, Lazarus is getting first aid. Their buggy wheels undercarriage took the brunt of that last impact. Time for some precision avionics. For their final flight, the revs have ditched Biggles-style circling and positioning strategies. This time, they're going to fly straight for the target. Bomber crews ready! Three revs, start your final bomb run now!
On idle.
On idle.
Yes, that's it.
Nice going.
Oh, very slow launch.
Lazarus struggles to recover from his wussy launch, but fails.
Well, not bad! Not bad!
It's actually the three revs' closest shot yet.
Although I managed that, it just touched the ground there, didn't it?
Closest yet, though.
Yeah, it is. Yes, yeah.
At 6 seconds, it wasn't Lazarus's longest flight. But as our action replay shows, our valiant Vickers did manage their first real remote control bomb drop, albeit from a height of 6 inches. But at 80 metres from the target, it's just not enough to beat the mother's last bombing run.
Here we are in the centre of the target, in fact, the safest place that we could have been today. A fantastic effort by both teams, absolutely incredible.
Final thing was 80 metres from the target for the Rebs and 40 metres for the mothers.
Yeah. No question about that.
Thank you.
Steady.
And always does.
Does always do that. In next week's Scrap Heap Challenge, we'll be plumbing the depths of bodging brilliance with a dastardly underwater challenge. It's a transatlantic tussle as a bunch of Yankee computer geeks take on a team of North Sea oilmen to see who can build the most magnificent mini submarine.
Next tonight, Mark and co are building a modern-day replica of the classic 1960s racing car, the Ford GT40, so called as it stands just 40 inches off the ground. Dream Machines after the break.